Proverbs 30, we'll look at the first three verses to start out. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy. The man spake unto Ithiel and unto Ithiel and Ucal. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. We have in this proverb the introduction of a new inspired writer. Very little is known about Agur, except that he is the son of Jacob. It's likely that he was a man who was devoted to the study of wisdom during the days of Solomon. And Agur states that he was writing specifically for the benefit of Ithiel and Ucal, who were either his students or his sons. And he calls his words of wisdom the prophecy, not so much a prediction of future events, but rather divine truth inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now you're going to see as we wade through this chapter that the words that he writes under the inspiration of the Spirit are of great weight and solemnity. I believe God the Spirit moved him, burdened him, inspired him to write exactly what we have here in Proverbs chapter 30. These words are not only divinely inspired by the Spirit of God to be written by a relative unknown, but they are also divinely preserved for our instruction and our edification. I like what Charles Bridges said. He said, the two concluding chapters of Proverbs are an appendix to the Proverbs of Solomon. Nothing certain is known of the writers, and it is vain to speculate where God is silent. Far better is it to give the full interest of our mind and heart to the matter of instruction than to indulge unprofitable curiosity respecting the writers. Our ignorance of the writers of many of the Psalms in no degree hinders their profit to us. We know their author when the penmen are hid. It is enough for us to be assured that they were holy men of God who wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:21. This is how we ought to approach Scripture. We ought to, even though we may not understand or even know the history behind the writer of these Proverbs, ultimately, God is the one that moved them to write it, so we can receive instruction. Now, in light of what Agur wrote concerning the greatness, the glory, and the infinite wisdom of God, I think verse 2 is really a reflection of how he felt in comparison to God. He said, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. He saw himself in the light of God's immaculate holiness and infinite knowledge. And he saw himself as nothing more than a brute beast with no understanding in comparison. Now, I don't believe that this was merely a statement of false humility. As Agur drew nigh to God, he thought less of himself. As he examined the depths of his depraved heart in the light of God's holiness, he struggled to find the words to describe his own insufficiency, his own inadequacies. And what's interesting is that this seems to be the experience of many of the divinely inspired writers of Scripture. The more they knew of God, the more His glory, holiness, sovereignty was revealed to them, the less they thought of themselves. Job said this. And you know what? You take all the characters out of the Bible, and I don't know many people that could hold a candle to Job. Even with all the statements that he made, to be able to say, when everything in life is stripped away, all of his goods, all of his family, his health, and to be able to say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, to be able to be that resigned to the sovereignty and providence of God. So I'll never throw rocks at old Job. But listen to what he said after his entire ordeal had been nearly completed and God was beginning to speak directly to him. Job said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Job 40, verse 4, and 42, and verse 6. David said, "Behold, thou hast made my hands, my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Psalm 39, 5. Asaph, the Levite, said, "So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee." Psalm 73, 22. Isaiah, when he was granted a view of the thrice holy Lord God Almighty, his statement was, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah 6:5. And then Paul, the blessed apostle, as he compared himself to the glory of God as revealed in the law, he said this, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Paul, no doubt, was the greatest missionary, writer of several books of the New Testament, epistles. He said, "This is a saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He was one of the most spiritual people of all time. Yet he recognized, in comparison to God, we are frail, we're weak, and that's why we need to trust Him. Why we need to depend on Him and draw strength from Him. I believe that God causes us to walk humbly with Him. Grace never puffs anybody up. Grace never fills anyone with pride. Grace takes away arrogance. In fact, it our call, as Peter said, be clothed with humility. Let that be your apparel. Let that be what the world sees. That you think everything of God and you walk humbly with Him. I love the comments by old George Lawson on this proverb. He said, no doubt he uses very strong language, but he was perfectly sincere in it. For he thought about God and eternal things, but felt so much difficulty in understanding them, he found himself naturally so much indisposed to the most important duties and was filled with such grief at the darkness of his mind and the perverseness of his heart that he could not find words strong enough to express his inward sense of his own vileness and darkness. None are so ignorant and so likely to continue so as those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. None are so wise and so likely to increase in wisdom as the humble souls who are deeply conscious of their folly and ignorance. They will open their mouths and pant for God's commandments. They will rejoice to hear that Christ is made of God unto us wisdom, and will sit at the feet of Jesus and receive from Him the words of eternal life. As I read this passage, I thought, what a rebuke to those who think they're right about everything and who love to hear themselves talk. Their words are often harsh and critical, especially for those who would dare to disagree with their lofty opinions. I think it was Spurgeon who said, if my enemies describe me in vile and defamatory terms, believe that if the depths of my depravity were truly known, you would conclude that I am far worse than described. May God deliver us from the wicked vanities of a pride-filled heart and an arrogant spirit. Without the spiritual enlightenment provided by the Holy Spirit, we would know nothing at all in relation to God. In fact, without God, you wouldn't know anything. Period. He gives to all life and breath and all things. Now in verse 3, he said, I neither have learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. It appears that he is warning Ithiel and Ucal not to think of him, their instructor, more highly than they ought. He would be writing about some deep and spiritual truths in the Proverbs that follow. He wanted them to know that these deep things of God did not originate with him. He had not learned these gems of wisdom on his own, but rather the Spirit of God had directed him to write them down. All praise and honor for the truths expressed in this chapter should be directed to God alone and not the writer. And as I thought about that, that ought to be the desire, the attitude, of every God-called preacher. No preacher is worthy of adulation or praise for the truth that he preaches. If he knows anything at all and is able to communicate it in power, it is all due to the working of the Spirit of God. May God help the preacher who is full of himself and loves to tell folks how deep and spiritual he is. Far better to be of a humble and a lowly spirit, acknowledging that every bit of knowledge and wisdom has been graciously given by God. I pray that God will help us all to follow the humble and modest example of wise Agur and quench every fleshly desire that craves the praise of men. I don't think you should insult preachers. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I appreciate that message. You know, we're living in a day and age when people are putting preachers, so-called, way up on pedestals. They don't belong there. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Only difference between me and you is I've been called into the ministry to preach the glorious gospel and the whole counsel of God. I'm saved the same way you are. I face the same trials you do, because there's no new thing under the sun. So pray for your preacher, your pastor, and may God give us grace to learn together, to keep on learning until Jesus comes. We're dismissed.